him who the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that you have been blessed so far today as we are moving in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to come into the house of the Lord and to worship together and to have the weights of this world liberated from us? Hallelujah. There's something about when the hands go up. Hallelujah. All of the weight goes down. Hallelujah. God liberates us. He sets us free. He enables us. He empowers us. And this is what God is doing in our lives. And this is exciting. This is what makes life exciting. It's being able to persevere in God. That's the power of the Word of God. God's Word is so powerful. I just wish that people could really grasp the depth and the power and the strength of God's Word when we receive it. Hallelujah. When we receive it. Have you ever made something and it says, just add water? Have you ever seen that? You know, just add water. And it's not until you add the water that it actually becomes the thing that you actually want it to be. And this is the way it is with Christianity. You have to add water. Water in the Word of God represents the Word of God. When you add the Word of God into your life, it causes you to become the very thing that we all want to be. Hallelujah. And it's not just having the information. The Word has to get down into your heart, right? It's like, add water, wait 3 minutes. Hallelujah. Add water, wait 3 minutes. Let it soak in. Let it settle in. Let it metabolize. Let it do what it's supposed to do so that things can gel together. Things can fuse together so that they can become a part of each other. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen oatmeal go back to dry oats? No, I don't think so. You ever see Kool-Aid go back to being powder mix? No. You ever see those little toys when you add the water, they foam up and turn into a little animal or a little thing, right? You can't get them to go back flat ever again, right? You can't. That's what the Word of God does in our lives. It does the same thing. Once you add the Word, oh, you start to have a new dimension of yourself, and God begins to transform us into the image of Christ. We just need to add the Word of God. Just add water. When you add water, you will be made new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it does. It's the very thing that the Word of God is trying to get us all to do, to abide in His Word, meditating on it day and night. Let it soak in deep to the marrow of the bone. That's what the Word of God is able to do, the two-edged sword, right? That is what God is saying. Let it soak in. Let it cut and penetrate deep into the marrow of your bones. Why the marrow of your bones? I don't know why I'm talking about this, but the marrow of the bones, because that's where new blood cells are produced, right? Isn't that's the core of who you are? And now you begin to replicate, hallelujah, the very things that are in the marrow of the bones. And that is why you and I need the Word of God in our lives. We need it to penetrate not only to our hearts, but even to the marrow of the bone, the Word of God says. And that is what God is trying to get us to do, to absorb the Word of God. And that is a skill that we learn. It's a skill that must be achieved as we go through life. And you and I are in the process of learning that. It's so deep and powerful, we don't really understand how. We just know it does. It does. It does something. It transforms us. It changes us. The one thing that causes people to fall away or fall into sin is a lack of God's Word in their life. It's not a lack of prayer. It's not a lack of religious activities or practices. It's a lack of the Word of God being applied in their hearts. And when we learn how to apply the Word of God, it will change everything about our perceptions in life, about the things that we see, our experiences, the people that we interact with, everything that we do. Examine your life. I guarantee you the one thing you need more of is the Word of God. Time in God's Word. And when you add that in, it changes everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we begin a new theme today, and we are talking about picking up your mantle. Hallelujah. And for the summer, this is our summer theme, pick up your mantle. We're going to be looking at the understanding of the fact that God is raising us up to have an impact on the people around us so that we will be able to have a life-changing or a life-giving impact on the people that God has placed in our lives. First, it's our own family, our own household, the people that live with us. And from there, it expands out. Jesus used the illustration of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are to have an impact for the sake of the kingdom of God. And you and I begin at home. Everything that we do, it begins when we're alone, when it's just you. What is it that you and God are developing? What are you being transformed into in your personal time with God? As we experience God in our personal time, it overflows into our relationships with the people closest to us. And it is their lives that become a witness for us or against us regarding the kingdom of God. What is it that those who are closest to us say about us? Because those are the people who know us best, who know us better than anyone else. How do we respond? How do we react when we are in these more intimate settings and situations? Because that is the you God wants to transform. That is the you that God is trying to heal, deliver, and set free. It is not the one that we put on when we go out and we all dress up in our costumes for work and our costumes for church as we go out into the world. God is looking at you in your naked, bare sense, and He is seeing you as you are, as He created us. He sees us in our natural state, and God is transforming that person into the image of Christ. This is what God is trying to achieve, but it's up to us to surrender. We have to allow God in, and we cannot surrender and at the same time try to cover ourselves with the costumes of this world. And so God has offered us hope, liberty, and truth. Hope, liberty, and truth. This is what the Word of God brings. This is what God has commissioned us as the people of God with, so that we would be able to take up the mantle of God and pass it on. And so I would like to begin today with this passage here in, here in 1 Corinthians 9:24. And it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Hallelujah. That you may win. Well, saints of God, you and I are in a race. And the race is the course of your life. And as you and I run this race, we run the course of our lives, we must run in a way that will enable us to achieve and win the prize of eternal life, the prize of new life in Christ. We are living our lives in order to achieve and to obtain all that God has promised us in His Word. And this is why when we're ignorant of the Word of God, we don't know why we should be running. Hallelujah. We don't even understand that we need to be running. And we don't even realize that we're in a race and that time is of the essence. You and I need to utilize and maximize the resources and the time that God has given us, because life is short. And when you realize how short life is, it compels you to get into the race so that you can run to win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I would like to use as a theme today the relay zone. The relay zone. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And God, I pray that you would help us to realize that we're all running a race. We are all in this race, the race of life. And you have called us to pick up our mantle and bring hope, liberty, and truth into the lives of the people around us, that we would experience it for ourselves and impart it to others, and that we would be able to operate in the strength and the power of God that will enable us to prevail beyond these times. We ask, oh God, that you would use us as your ambassadors, as your witnesses, as a fellow teammates in this race to win the very accomplishments of God. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's nothing more exciting than being an athlete, isn't that right? Than being somebody who's involved in sports or sport-like activity, and you have these big events that take place. I was a semi-professional swimmer and spent a lot of time in AAU and doing all kinds of events and activities and things and swimming. And as I was growing up as a young man, got a swim scholarship in college and all of this stuff. And we know that God was at work to develop something in me so that I could use these examples now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm sure God has done the same thing in your life. When you look back on the course of your life, you realize, you know, sooner or later, someday you realize, you know what, I'm not going to make much money swimming, you know. So I think I better seek God for what it is he really wants me to do. And sooner or later, you have to realize that your life has a purpose. There's a reason for your life. And when you realize that, it changes the dynamics of your life, of your purpose, of your focus, of where you're headed, where you're going. You now have a cause or a reason to live. And that's what Jesus brings into our life. And once we are able to do that, he enables us to be trained up. And every good athlete needs to be trained. I don't know of any athlete that has achieved any kind of achievements that did not have a coach, that did not have someone who was able to speak into their lives and tell them what they were doing wrong so they could make little adjustments and make it right. Now, we all know that just because the coach is telling you what to do and how to do it doesn't mean he can do it. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so we don't get mad at the coach for telling us how we need to make changes in order to become better. We don't criticize him and tell him, well, you get in here and do it. We don't say that. We don't do that. We take their advice and we follow what they say. And when he or she has given us the advice that we need, we recognize whether or not it's good advice and we make the right adjustments. So why is it that the people of God are always criticizing the coach? Why is it that people of God have a hard time when God brings the coaches into our lives who specialize in these different areas of training that are able to help us to achieve a better quality and to win this race. Why do we criticize the coaches? Hallelujah. I don't understand it myself. I don't get it. I don't know why people get mad when God raises up someone to speak into our life and say, brother, sister, I see what's going on here. You need to make an adjustment. You need to just tweak a little bit. You need to stop doing that and do this. If you just make a slight change in the way you're lifting your elbow as you bring it out of the water, you'll see that it'll make you more streamlined and the water resistance won't be working against you. It will be working for you just because you shifted your elbow just that one little bit. We don't get upset. You, who do you think you are trying to tell me how I need to do it? I'm the one who is in the water. I'm the one who's running this race. I am the one, hallelujah, who's in here doing this. Where are your prizes? Hallelujah. And we are so quick to criticize those who God is raising up. And I believe that once you realize, this is why I love the life class. Don't you love that life class? You know, once you realize that you're in Christ and Christ is in you and the Spirit of God is permeating from within you and all around you, that nothing, absolutely nothing comes into your life, no person, no thing, no experience, nothing comes into your life and impacts you without coming through God first. God is the one who allows all of these things. He is filtering so that you get just what you need to get better. Hallelujah. He gives you just what you need to get better. And so we don't have to look at the faces of who it is or what if we're listening to the words for the word of God. We are operating on a divine frequency that as the word of God is spoken, we're tuned in to the frequency of God. Some people are tuned to the wrong frequency. That's why they think Satan is doing everything, because they're listening to the satanic channel. And when you listen to the satanic channel and frequency, all you hear is negativity. All you hear is criticism. All you hear is what's going wrong. All you hear are all the problems, like watching the news today. Hallelujah. All you hear is everything that's wrong, everything that's wrong, everything that's wrong, everything that's wrong. And oh, and it's this one, and it's that one, and it's this, and it's that, and it's the other thing. You and I have to learn how to tune to the right frequency. We have to tune out that which is not according to the word of God and tune in to the things that are. This is why you and I need to meditate on the word of God day and night. Because Satan is a master deceiver. His job is to imitate the divine frequency. He imitates the divine frequency. It sounds like God. It even feels like God. And it may even seem like it's in the right perspective and it's the right thing. And we trigger something. It causes us to feel something. And that is where the evidence comes out. Because rather than draw you into the things of God, it repels you away from the things of God. And anything that is not of God is going to cause you to pull away. Every time you feel like you want to pull away, you have to examine your own frequency. And so often we want to criticize the coaches that God raises up and those who God brings into our life, and we are robbed of hope, liberty, and truth. And so when we take up the mantle, it is dirty, it is tainted, it is sticky, it is not what it needs to be. You and I need to hold on to the truth of God's word. We are in a race. We are in a relay race. And as we live our lives, God is raising up people who are able to speak into our lives. And that is why we all are speaking into each other's life. It has nothing to do with positions or titles and all of that. We're here to have an exchange in the kingdom realm, in the spirit realm, so that we can be molded and shaped into the image of Christ. And so we are in this race, and there is no greater race than the relay race. Isn't that right? The relay race is more fun than being in a race just with you alone, and you're competing against every other individual. But the relay race is more inspiring because you have a team. You have people that are tapping you on the shoulders, right? They're smacking you on the behind, right? And they're saying, you can do it. You can do it. You're next. Come on, let's go. We're going to get ready. We're able to go. Yeah, I know. All right. Yeah, easy now. Okay. Yeah. In the old days, you could do that. You know, now everybody's funny, you know. Right? You don't see it, right? You used to see the football players do it, right? They come running out, and they'd be smacking them, you know, as they go out. You know, you don't see that anymore now. So anyway, well, hell. So we're able, but we have people, and we're able to interact with each other and motivate each other and encourage each other to move forward in God. And that this is what God is establishing among us. And this, the relay team is great because there are many strategies to running the relay race. The relay race, I don't know if many of you, if maybe you were runners or you were in a team sport that had relays. You know, I swam, we had relays. And the relay race strategy can be several, but the most common one is where you have a progressive team. First of all, the relay is made up of the best of the best. The very best of the people who are on the team are usually a part of the relay team, because you need the fastest and the most efficient runners or swimmers or whatever it is that they're doing. You need the very best. You need the fastest, because the idea is to win. Does anybody get into a race and not expect to win? No, not unless this is your first time and you know that you're not really up to par, right? But when you get into a race and you've really been doing it and you've been well-trained and you're operating at the peak of your efficiency, you're in it to win. Hallelujah. And this is what God is calling us to do. We are getting into the race, the gospel race, the race of life, for the race for eternity. And God is saying, run it to win. Hallelujah. So now we have to win. And that means we need to operate in a certain way. And I'm setting this up so that we can see what it is that God is doing in our lives. You and I are part of a relay team. We are interacting together. We are fellowshipping together. And we are all running this race. And as we go in the relay race, usually the person who goes first is among the best of the four. Usually it's four people. Sometimes there's more depending on what the event is. But let's say it's four people. The first person is generally one of the best. And so you want that person to be out of the gate and blaze off and establish a lead. And then the next person can be a little bit weaker because he's got a buffer of a lead to work with. So he's not so slow that he loses the lead, but he might give up a little of the lead, but he's still fast enough to make the team progress forward and ultimately win. The third person is generally not necessarily the fastest on the team, but he's one of the fastest on the team. His job is to reestablish whatever gains were lost. And that person is now moving in a way where he is able to close the gap that the person before him may have lost. And then the last person is the anchor person. They call that person the anchor. And the anchor is the person who has to overtake anybody who is ahead of him and bring the team from the back to the front, ultimately to win. Whatever it is the losses were, they overtake and win. And depending on who your opposition is, the coach will align the teammates in the appropriate speed position or line position based on who he sees the competition is. And so when the competition puts up their best guy in the second position, then that's what the coach will see. He'll recognize what's happening and he'll say, change the order. And the order will get changed. It's not always the same unless the anchor person is the ultimate fastest on the team, and that person is usually always at the end. And so everybody in between is able to move around depending on what is going on with the competition. This is what God does in his kingdom. God positions us and he raises up people to be in the right place at the right time, depending on what the enemy is doing, depending on what Satan is trying to do against the people of God. God strategically places us in the positions of life. You're on your job for a reason. You are in the family you're in for a reason. You live where you live for a reason. You have the friends and the fellowships and things that you're doing, the things that you're involved in. All of that is the orchestration of God. And when God brings us together, we are able to formulate a team that ultimately is designed to win. Regardless of what the enemy does, God reorchestrates us and enables us to be in a position to win. And this is what brings confidence in our life. When you're a part of the church, you're part of a family or a team of people that God is orchestrating to become winners. And because of each other, we're able to win. We're able to overcome the strategies of the enemy. And this is why when you're all alone somewhere, you're only hurting yourself because you've got no help, got no covering. There's no one watching your back. You can have crazy ideas going on in your head because Satan is putting these ideas in your head. Do you know that's what he does? Satan, he speaks into your mind and causes you to think that you are thinking them. Think about that. Satan puts thoughts in your mind to cause you to believe that they are your thoughts. But they're not your thoughts, they're his thoughts. This is how the spirit realm works. He speaks into the mind of the believer and the people and causes them to hear things. You ever see crazy people? They say, oh, well, a voice told me. The spirit, I heard a spiritual voice. I heard God, you know, God told me to do it. But you killed all those people. I heard the voice of God. No, no, you heard the voice of a God. You didn't hear the voice of God. That was the God of this world, Satan. And he was speaking into your mind, giving you an understanding. And a lot of times, people have these things that are going on in their minds, and they're not even true, but they are designed to become true. And they're designed not to be true, they're designed to become true. And this is why we have to make sure that the words that we are hearing and that we're listening to are words that align with truth, with the word of truth. And this is why when we hear things and we see things, we don't just take the word of the messenger, the one who has taken up that mantle and has decided to become a messenger. We are to hear the words of truth, and we find the source of truth, and we wait on God to bring that revelation. We say, God, if this is true, then you confirm your words. God will always confirm his words. And this is what enables us to overcome. And so the relay race is established by a runner. And a runner is the one who is the one running. And as he approaches his lap and it's time to change to the next runner, then he has to change the baton. And the baton is the shaft that is held on to, this rod that is held on to, that represents you are the one holding the truth. In the Word of God, the Word of God is the mantle. The Word of truth, the gospel, is the mantle. And we are bringing the words of God. We see this in the life of Elijah. We see this in the life of Samuel. And we see this in the life of Jesus and the disciples. And the Word of God is being passed on from God to his messenger, the one who is taking up or picking up the mantle, and the one who is to receive the word has to receive the message of God. And when we apply the principles of God and His Word in our lives, it leads to hope, liberty, and truth. It brings us to that place where God is able to establish Himself. Remember, God is establishing Himself as a person, as an entity. He is a spirit being, and He is establishing Himself through us in our lives and in the experiences of the life that we are living. God is living through us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He brings liberty. He sets us free from the weights and the bonds and the oppressions that words bring into our lives. It's the words that we hear that affect us. When somebody brings you bad news of somebody sick or somebody struggling, it causes you to feel something. Isn't that right? Because someone has taken up the mantle of being the messenger of that word, that message, and they are imparting it to you. And when you receive it, it has an effect on you. And based on that effect, it spawns a reaction. And that reaction has to be managed. And once we manage the reaction of the message that comes to us, because we can't always gauge or buffer or stop or hinder what we hear. Isn't that right? The message is going to come to us. It's not our fault when we hear bad news. We can be like, you know, the Wiz, right? The Wicked Witch said, no bad news, right? No bad news, right? No bad news. You can try to buffer yourself from bad news, but that does not mean that it will not come, because it will come. And especially if it is truth, truth will always come to you. And God wants us to understand that it's our job to be bearers, or those who pick up the mantle of hope, liberty, and truth, and it requires timing. And so in a relay, there is what is known as the relay zone. Now, the relay zone is, if you notice on a track, if you've ever seen these running tracks, you know, with the runners, and they have lanes, and then there's all these other markings on the ground. One of the markings at the start and the finish of the circle is what is known as a relay zone. That is a space of several feet that exist, and it's an overlap area where the runner who is running and the runner that is to run next are able to overlap. And so we see that there is a handoff of the baton of this rod during the relay zone. It can only be passed during the relay zone. And if you miss it, you disqualify yourself, or you find yourself being out of the race, or you end up losing because your rhythm and timing is thrown off. This is true in the kingdom of God. You and I have a relay zone that God is operating with in our lives. Opportunities as we engage people to pass on the message of God's word, to bring the truth of God, to be a witness of God for the people. And so we will see this relay zone as this baton gets handed off. There is the person who is running, and they're handing it off to the person who is next. And that person has to receive it. Now, there's a technique for this. It's not just hand you the baton, but there's a technique for this, so that as the runner is running, the baton is handed back to the runner who is coming up to overtake them. As it is handed off to them, then that person takes the lead and extends their hand forward. So the one who has the baton is the one who is reaching out to offer it, and the one who is to receive it is reaching back to receive it. There is a giver and there is a receiver. And you and I have to understand this principle if we're going to grow and mature in our walk with God. God brings people into our lives who are able to offer the baton to us, the word of God to us, life to us, all that it brings. God hands it off to us so that we can take it and run with it. God has people in our lives that have maybe little things, maybe simple things, maybe a lot of things, maybe amazing things, but it still gets passed on to us from the one who has it to the one who needs it. And this transition begins to take place as they enter the relay zone. And in the relay zone, they're both running together. Hallelujah. One is decelerating as the other is accelerating. Hallelujah. And so when you hear the word of God and the things of God, when you receive, you're able to build up momentum so that you can run. Because once you receive that baton, it is up to you to run to win. Hallelujah. You take that baton and you run to win. And so as you are receiving the baton, you're taking it from the one who is offering it. Your job is to run the race. We see this in the life here of Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 14, it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent." And so it happened that at that time, as Eli was laying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. This is a significant passage because we see that Samuel is now in this position. We all know who Samuel is. He is the man who was the baby of Hannah, who was barren, and she was crying before the Lord to give her a child, right? And so as a result, she committed him to the house of God. She gave him to Eli to raise as his own son. And of course, we learned that Eli really was not good at raising sons. In fact, he wasn't good at raising anybody, apparently. But he was good at doing his job in the house of God. But he wasn't good with his family. And so his baton was that he was training up Samuel in the ways of the Lord in the house of God. And so the baton is being passed on. And there is this overlap of time where God brings Samuel into the life of Eli, and they are able to glean and learn from each other. This is a relay zone of life where you have this overlap, this opportunity to impart something to someone in their life so that they can live on beyond you and carry all that you can offer them into the next generation, into the next season or session or place, wherever it needs to go. They're able to carry this baton in the race of life where God is intending it to go. And so he's laying here, and isn't it interesting that Samuel is laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God is? Does that strike anyone as being of interest? Because where usually is the ark of God? It's usually in the Holy of Holies, isn't it? Isn't it usually in the inner sanctuary? That is the place where the high priest goes once a year. It is this special place. You couldn't just be with the ark of God. How many people just touched it and died? How many people were doing things with good intentions and found themselves being put down by God? But Samuel is sleeping in the temple with the ark of God. That connotates a special relationship and calling by God. And you and I, we have to understand that each of us plays a specific role in life. God has raised us up to operate in the kingdom of God. We all have gifts, we have talents, we have abilities, but more importantly, we have callings. There is something that God is doing in our lives that he wants us to do. And he gives us the tools and the resources and the abilities to do those things. Even though other people might be other people, there may be others saying, I want my kid to go in and sleep next to the ark. Maybe some of Samuel's friends that were in the neighborhood said, I want to go sleep next to the ark. I want to come. Can I have a sleepover and stay with Samuel next to the ark? I don't know about you, but I would have said to my kid, you're not going in there. There's no way you're going in there. And so Samuel has a special relationship with God. And it says that the Lord now calls Samuel and he says, here I am. And then he ran to Eli. Notice he didn't walk. Notice he didn't just say, hey, Eli, yo, what's up? Come on over here. I got to ask you something. I need you to answer a question for me. No, he gets up and he runs. And when you realize that you're in a race, you have to learn how to run. You have to take things more seriously. You have to be quick to be able to respond and do what it is that God is calling us to do. And that is why the scripture says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Hallelujah. And so we're quick to hear, and we don't do a lot of talking, but we have to spring into action. We're meditating, we're thinking about those things. And so he says, I did not call you, go lie down again. And so he went and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And so Samuel arose and he went to Eli and he says, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I didn't call you, my son. Go back and lay down. It's late at night. Go back to sleep. And so all of a sudden, Samuel realizes that I must be hearing things. I don't know what it is. I'm hearing it. And the last thing Samuel is thinking is that it's the voice of God. And Samuel, it says here in verse 7, did not yet know the Lord. Think about that. Here he is serving in the house of the Lord all of these years, since the time he was born, all of this time, and he still did not know the Lord. Yet he was serving in the house of the Lord. That's what the scripture said, right? We just read that. It says he was serving. Did you know you can serve in the house of the Lord and still not know God? Hallelujah. I can tell you, I know so many people that say, well, I was this in the church, and I was that in that church, and I was doing this, and I was doing that. And when you examine, well, what is going on, you're like, how could that have possibly been? How could it be? You can actually be in the house of God and still not know God. And this is why it's so important for the word of truth to be imparted to the people. When there is a failure of a transfer of the baton, a passing of the baton in the relay zone, then there is a failure of people to know the Lord. You and I, we must hold on to the mantle of truth so that people can know the Lord. It didn't say that Samuel didn't know about the Lord. It says he didn't know the Lord. And there are many people who know about the Lord. They can give you the history of the gospel and of the word of God, and they can tell you all kinds of details and all kinds of stuff, but yet they do not know the Lord. And saints of God, you and I, we have to make sure we know the Lord. And so Samuel did not know the Lord, and so God decided to introduce himself. God said, I'm going to call him so he can get used to my voice, so that he would get to know the difference between my voice and Eli's voice, because he's thinking Eli is calling, do I sound like Eli? God is probably going, what? Oh man, this guy does not know my voice. And that's how it is. The first time someone calls you, you may hear him on the phone, oh yeah, who's this? And then they say who they are, and you're like, oh, yeah. But after you talk to them a few hundred times, as soon as they call, you don't even need the caller ID. They say, hey, how you doing? And they go, hey, how are you? Hallelujah. I love doing this to my pharmacist. You know, I call up for refills on my medication. And I pick him, and I say, hello. And he goes, hey, Mr. Sampson, how are you? Hallelujah. I'm like, how did you know it was me? He said, I know that voice. I know that voice. And many of you, we know each other's voice. Isn't that right? We don't need caller ID. We can hear the frequency of the voice because we are in a relationship. We know each other. And so when we're interacting, we recognize each other. Well, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And so God had to reveal himself to him. And so in verse 8, so the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli was able to discern. And you and I need to have discernment. And so often people you would think would know better, you realize their problem is not their knowledge. Their problem is a lack of discernment. The problem is they can't tell which frequency is playing, and they can't tell whose voice they're actually hearing. And so they go running to the person or the thing, and they'll say, well, it was God. Why are they saying it's God when what they're saying does not align with truth and hope and the workings and the things of God? It's because they do not know the voice of God. And the only way to know the voice of God is to spend time in his word, to spend time meditating on the word of God. And many times people think just because they've read the Bible one time or two times, or maybe a few times as a kid or over the years, that means that they know the voice of God. That is not true. You may not know the voice of God just because you have read the Bible in the past. The idea of reading the Bible is not something that is something that you do just to gain the information. That is not what brings revelation to you. You see, what brings revelation to you is relationship. You have to have a relationship with the Word of God. Have you ever had a good friend and you spent a lot of time with them and you knew their voice and you interacted with them, and then you haven't seen them for a long time? Maybe it's been 10 years, or maybe it's been 15 or 20 years, and then all of a sudden they call you again. Do you recognize that voice anymore? No, you usually don't. And even if you think you recognize the voice, you're gonna say, is this so-and-so? Who is this? Is this so? And it's because you're not just listening to the voice itself, but you're listening to what's being said and the spirit of what it is saying. And as you hear this, you're able to discern it in order to try to go through the files of your memory banks to try to align that voice, that frequency, to something that you're familiar with. And as we do this, we're able to have this experience that enables us to bring identity to that factor or that voice or that experience. And this is what Eli was able to do. He was able to discern that this is the Lord calling the boy. And so Eli says to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Eli is a good coach in this situation. He is a good coach. He is helping him to understand and know the word of God. Now, Eli was not a good father, as we know from Scripture. He was not good at raising his children, but he was good at helping Samuel recognize the voice of God. He was good at discerning that. And this is why you and I ought to be able to receive from anybody. Because just because someone is good in this area doesn't mean that everything they do is perfect and right. It doesn't mean they become a guru to you and now you are to follow them as a disciple and be able to live and do all the things that they do. No, it just means God used them to speak into your life in this one area. And we have to be able to discern these kinds of things, that this is a relay zone that God has placed us in so that there can be a transfer of the baton so that we can be better at winning the race, have a greater chance to win the race. You and I have to recognize what God is doing as we are going through our life. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Here is Samuel. He is at first interaction with God, and this is what God is saying. Could you imagine? This is a heavy word that somebody's hearing from somebody who doesn't know the Lord, and all of a sudden now they're hearing from God. And it, could you imagine if all of a sudden he doesn't know the Lord and he comes, he says, God told me. And you see in the story, it says, in that day, I will carry out against Eli, not for him, but against Eli, all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew because of his sons. They brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. And so God is judging Eli because his sons were not in right order. They were not right and faithful to God, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and Eli, as the father, did not bring correction into their life. Saints of God, how many people right now would be experiencing this judgment if God was operating this way today? People who see that their children have gone astray and they are not rightly bringing correction into their life. They're not being a good witness. You see, your life and your children's life are in this relay zone. And as they are growing up and they're maturing in the ways of the Lord, you and I as parents, we're supposed to model the Word of God to our children so that they will be able to see the Word made flesh, see what the Word of God is to look like as it is applied in a family setting and as it is lived out, so that when they get to the college years and they go off to school, they have been well-trained, well-groomed. They have good, solid examples, a good 15, 20 years of examples in their life to reinforce the truth of God and His Word, so that when they go off, they are separated in the relay zone and they're able to run the race of life. You see, you and I have to understand this is how life is designed to work. Not only are there random people that God brings into our life, but we also have it built in to our lineage, into our families. And we are to model the way of the Lord. We're to help them to understand, just as Eli, who failed at doing this very thing in his own children's life, but he was able to do it in Samuel's life. And so we see this transition as it takes place. It says in verse 14, therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. In other words, there will be no forgiveness of this sin. It will not be washed away. His lineage is now going to be cut off. And how many people's lineage is being cut off because they fail to pass the baton in the relay zone, to be able to represent the righteousness and the truth of God? How many people are lost in their sins simply because Christians fail to bring and pass on the baton on their jobs, in their communities, and in the lives and interactions of the people around us? You and I are called to pass the baton in the relay zone. We have to seize these opportunities. We have to recognize them and then begin to use them. It says that God has decided that he is going to cut off this lineage. And so it is because of this failure to take advantage of this opportunity to train up his children. You see, it was the job of the high priest to train up his oldest son to take his place. His job was to be the next in line. This is how it was passed on all the way from Aaron all the way through to Jesus. And so this is why God was saying, you know, that he was going to cut this lineage off, and Samuel was now taking the place of Eli's son. And so now God brought Samuel in. And God will always raise up a replacement if you and I don't do the right thing. God is not caught off guard. He's not surprised. He already knew. And so while the barren woman was crying out to God for an answer to prayer, God blessed her and gave her a son that became the next representative of the kingdom of God, the next judge of Israel. And you and I are to be raising up people who can operate as representatives and ambassadors of the kingdom of God. I'm passing the baton on to my children and my children's children. You ought to be doing the same, passing on the baton to your children and your children's children, so that we can see the kingdom of God advance. This is what we are working out. This is what God is working out in our lives. This is why we're praying, and we're praying for people. That is why the prayers of a praying mother are so powerful. Samuel is the result of the prayers of a praying mother. Hallelujah. And this is why Satan does not want us in the Word of God. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to be around other people who can coach us and help us to recognize the voice of the Spirit of God, so that we can make the necessary tweaks and adjustments in our life so that we can run this race and win. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is quoting this verse in the Gospels. We see it here in Isaiah 61, where Isaiah is saying this of himself. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." Saints of God, this is what the word of the Lord will do in a person's life. When we abide in the word, when we meditate on it day and night, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. God will rise up from within you, and he will anoint you, and you will be a witness of the kingdom of God. You will be a bearer of what? Good news. Not complaining, not talking about people, not saying all kinds of things that are wrong. This is wrong and that's wrong, and they did this and somebody did that, and oh, I'm offended, and oh, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or this is happening. That is not a bearer of good news. That is someone tuned to the wrong frequency. And when you're in the wrong frequency, you cannot bring good news. You become bound and oppressed. You become hindered and you become withdrawn. You pull away and you find yourself isolating yourself and withdrawing, so that you can further meditate on the frequency of evil rather than the frequencies of God. This is how Satan works. Don't get mad at me. I'm just bearing the baton and I'm passing it on. And I just want you to understand that I am revealing the strategies of the enemy. And this is why whenever we ask people to take on responsibilities in the church, whenever you see people who are feeling the call to get involved and to do the work of the ministry, Satan always shows up. He always shows up. Whenever you make a change, when you repent, and repentance is not a bad word, it just means you change directions, right? Whenever you change directions and begin to walk in the direction that God is now showing you you need to go in, Satan will always show up. He always does, because his job is to grab you by the back of your coat and say, "Where are you going? We're gonna turn this thing around. You can't go that way. You gotta turn around. I need you to come this way. I don't want you to go in the way that you're doing." And what does he do? He causes things to happen to block you. So you run into one thing, and then all of a sudden you run into another thing. And then all of a sudden you're trying to get by in this, and you got to fight your way through because Satan is trying to block you from coming into alignment with the Word of God, with the truths of God. He wants you to miss your opportunity to pass the baton in the relay zone, because the timing needs to be godly timing. We have to have godly timing. We have to seize the opportunities that God gives us. And so Jesus is quoting this verse, and Isaiah is speaking of it, of himself, and you and I ought to also be able to say these words: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You and I ought to be able to say that. We ought to be able to say, God has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Isn't that what the message of the gospel is? Isn't this the message that Jesus said to go into all the world to bring? You and I have the power to bind up the brokenhearted. He said, whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. You and I, we can bind these spirits and bring down the works of darkness. We are able to proclaim liberty. We're able to speak words that bring life to people, not oppressive things, not things that divide, not things that bring a hindrance or separate, but we bring words that will lead to liberty and are able to set free people who are in captivity, prisoners of the thoughts in their own minds that they're meditating on that are not of God. You and I have to bring liberty to people's minds, because the mind is where the soul is. And you and I have to set souls free by the renewing of their mind. We have to allow the Word of God to wash and cleanse them. We're to bring or to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, for the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Hallelujah. I love this. God is a comforter. God is one who comforts those who are in mourning. He is able to bring vengeance. Against who? Against the spirit of darkness that speaks lies, as he brings in truth. God brings in truth. He dispels the lies. And this is why people who are operating in darkness don't want to hear truth. It's not because that they don't want to know truth. It's because there is a spirit of vengeance that they are fighting against that comes from God, and the spirit of darkness and Satan has got a hold on them. And when Satan has that cloak over you, you can speak truth all day long to people. Have you ever been in that situation where you're telling somebody the truth? You're trying to reason with them. You're trying to make sense with them. You're trying to get them to understand. And you're going, I'm telling you that this is a wood floor, man. This is carpet right here, dude. This is a black stand. And they're like, no, it's purple and it's green. And I can tell you there's all kinds of psychedelic things going on over there. And that ain't right. And you got this happening, that going. And like, dude, you have lost your mind. Trust me, there is a spirit that is on you that is not of God. You're not even making sense right now, but they can't see it. They're like, oh, I'm telling you. And you're going, what in the world did you just say? What in the world is that? And they're going, I'm telling you, I'm fine. I make sense. And it's incredible what happens. And you're going, how is this even possible? You get frustrated, don't you? You get tired of you. You're going, how can this be? And it's because they're operating in the wrong spirit. And God has a spirit that will bring that down. The word of truth will bring that down. It says he's come to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, of giving up. And you and I know so many people that give up. They're like, oh, I quit. Oh, I'm not going back. Oh, I'm not going to do it. That is not the spirit of God. Hallelujah. I never saw anywhere in the scripture where Jesus said, forget that. I'm not gonna do anything with those people. No, forget it. And the only thing that comes close is his own people who didn't believe. Isn't that right? And they didn't believe, and he said, I can't do miracles because I need faith. I need an atmosphere of faith. And wherever there's a lack of faith, then you have to move on. And you and I ought to always be in a state where we are able to have pour the oil of gladness on the mourners. We are able to bring the mantle of praise instead of the mantle of fainting, of giving up. We can say, listen, you need to begin to praise God. Why is it that people who don't praise God seem to be the people who give up the easiest? Hallelujah. When you become a praiser of God, when you become a worshiper, when you can get your feet off the ground, there is something that brings hope. Every time I jump, hope comes up in me. I go up, I come down, and hope goes ba-doing. I go ba-doing, ba-doing. So you see me jumping, I'm building up hope. Ba-doing, 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 ba-doing. Hope, 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 hope. It's like God is able, God is able, God is able. Yes, hallelujah. He goes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what happens. God is able to do it, my friends, and God will transform your life, and you will be called an oak of righteousness. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, and you shall not be moved, right? You'll be able to stand. You'll be planted of the Lord, and he will be glorified. This is what happens. This is what God will do in your life. You will be a picture of the fruit of the Spirit of God. In John 20, 19, it says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus comes in through the walls. He comes into the midst of them, and he says to them, peace be with you. And Jesus then says to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Hallelujah. Jesus is now sending the disciples after the resurrection. There is this relay zone of Jesus' life where he is passing on the baton to the disciples. He is now saying, you've seen how I lived. You saw what I did. I was an example to you. I have accomplished all that God has intended for me to accomplish. And now, in the same manner in which I've come, I'm going to send you. And verse 22 says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He breathed on them. Saints of God, you and I, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you and I, we need to be around people who are filled with the Spirit of God. And when you are surrounding yourself with people who have faith, with people who have hope, with people who have life, you too are going to be built up. You're going to get the bedoying of praise of God in your life. And you're going to see that it's going to be a curse. And instead of whining and complaining all the time, you're going to find yourself in an atmosphere where you're able to receive of the Spirit of God. Your frequencies will be transformed, will be changed. Life will be imparted to you. And you will see the very power of God. Jesus needed the Spirit of God to do what he did. And that is what he is passing on. He's passing on that same Spirit to you and I. You and I are receiving of the Spirit of God because somebody had to breathe on us. And that's what we need. You need people who are around you who can breathe on you. Hallelujah. I love being breathed on. Come on, somebody with the anointing, breathe on me. Hallelujah. Somebody fan the flames of the Spirit of God. Somebody give God praise. Somebody honor the Lord. Somebody lift up holy hands and give God praise. I just receive it in the Spirit of God. I'm like, hallelujah. Life is imparted to you. You can't give what you do not have. And even if you know all about it, you can talk about it, but you won't experience it because you haven't been breathed on. You need to have somebody who has the Spirit breathe on you so you can receive the Spirit. That's the passing of the baton. You can't be around a bunch of whiners and complainers and think that you're going to get anything else except a spirit of whining and complaining. That's why you see so many Christians wandering around with a sad, dark, evil face. You're like, and you're looking at them, you're like, ooh, what's wrong with you, brother? Something's not right today. And you're going, there's nothing wrong. Everything's fine. What do you mean? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's a shame. And people think you can't tell. It's like, don't you know God has given me a spirit of discernment? That's what God does. And God reveals things to people. Whenever you're not of a right spirit, anybody who is can tell. Let me just let you know right off the bat, when you're not of a right spirit and somebody who is of the Spirit of God is around, they will know what spirit you're operating in, and there is nothing you can say to make it go away. It will be truth. Truth is always truth. Whether you deny it or whether you don't want to believe it, and you can say, well, don't judge me. I say, I'm not judging you. This is a black stand. The stand isn't saying, don't judge me. I'm chrome, brother. Hallelujah. Well, God has called us to operate in the same spirit as Jesus. And he says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control, Paul says, in all things. He says, they then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. What we receive is eternal. You and I are having, we have an eternal effect. And that's why we're passing on this baton. We're passing it on. We're in this relay zone. He says, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. Hallelujah. He says, I'm not a boxer beating the air. I'm not boxing the air. He says, I'm running this thing to win. I'm going to make contact with the devil. I'm knocking the devil out. I'm going to overcome the enemy. I am going to see victory. I'm in this thing to win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is in our lives to win. There is a transferring of the Spirit of God. He says, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Hallelujah. It says, in other words, what I say, I'm backing it up. I'm going to live this thing so you can see. I'm going to become the Word made flesh. And you and I have to do the same thing. We got to be able to back up the Word with a testimony, with a word of truth, with a witness of the Spirit of God. We got to be able to help other people see. We're a coach. We're coaching. We're examples, and we're helping people come to that place. He says, and it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel, 1 Samuel 8. And it says that Samuel, as he got old, he still gave the responsibility to his sons, even though he had not trained them up in the ways of the Lord. They had not done right before God. So now we see Samuel has got the word of the Lord, and he went and he told Eli. And then he told Eli, and Eli's sons were judged. And now here is Samuel when he's old, and guess what he's doing? He's doing the same thing Eli did. The same mistakes Eli made are the same mistakes Samuel made. And now the sons of Samuel are suffering the same fate as the sons of Eli. And this is why we have to be careful about those who we are with, those who are speaking into our lives. Just because we're all interacting and working together doesn't mean we all are doing everything right. Hallelujah. And so we have to be able to learn a little bit of something from me, a little bit of something from you, and another little something from this person. And we see who is winning the race in the different areas of their lives. And we glean from those who are winning. Hallelujah. Obviously, you don't ask Eli how to raise sons, but that was what Samuel was doing. He had the wrong role model. How many Christians have the wrong role model? They're going on the internet looking for role models, looking for people, and they're trying to find people that they can follow, and they're all into them, and then you find out that they're not who you think they are. This is what happens when you don't have a relationship with people, when you're not interacting with people for yourself. It's hard to have a role model who's disconnected from you and your personal life. And so here is Samuel now in verse 2. He says, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah, and they were judging in Beersheba. And his sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. And then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And saints of God, this is what a good man of God will do. He recognizes his mistakes and his shortcomings, and then he goes to the Lord. You and I, we all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. And that is why we must learn how to turn to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. And like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing so to you also. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them. And so God is saying, this is now a new transitional time in the life, in the history of the Israelites. And now the very thing that you needed to learn, you have to learn and pass it on to those who God has brought into your life. Acts 20:24 says, but I did not consider my life, Paul says, of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. You and I have to finish the race well. We have to win this race. We can't start out one way and end up defeated. We must end up with victory. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. Will you win the race? Can you pass this baton? You don't want to drop out in the relay zone. You don't want to find yourself having failed at your quest and having lost the race. You need to run this race to win. You need to pass the baton. You need to see the manifestations of God. You need to be able to run with victory. You need to run with the power of the Spirit of God. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Saints of God, run in such a way that you may win. Hallelujah. It's the relay zone, people. Pick up your mantle and let's run in hope, in liberty, and in truth, so that we can seize the divine timing of God and operate in the opportunities God provides for us so that we can prevail beyond the times. Amen? Amen.
You picked Hallelujah. Me up. Hallelujah. You turned me around. You placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because you healed my heart. You changed my name. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Hallelujah. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
As he has set us free from every form of bondage. And as we are operating in the relay zone, we are able to receive and run this race. And that we are going to run and run to win. Because God has called us for such a time as this to be more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. So Lord, we are thankful for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would help us to have a right spirit, that we will be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that we will be able to apply the principles of your word as we learn from one another, and as we seize these opportunities to be your witnesses, that we may be able to pass this baton and run in the relay zone, that the glory of God may prevail from our generation into the next, and to the next, and to the next after that, that the name of the Lord would prevail in all these times. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, thank you for coming out to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. And may the Spirit of the Lord be with you as you go. Hallelujah.
Amen. Because you picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. Because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. I thank God.